Welcome to a new bonus episode from the Pablo Held Investigates podcast. I'm recording new audio commentaries these days about my albums. And today we're going to talk about my album Elders, which came out on Pirouette Records in 2013. This album is dedicated to my parents, Peter and Petra Held, both musicians, and I grew up listening to them, playing music, listening to music, dealing with music. And it was a dream of mine to do an album which is dedicated to them and where I pay tribute to what I've learned from them and what music I associate with them. So I'm going to talk about each piece and tell you a little bit about what happened in the studio, what I remember, what happened in the studio, and I'll react spontaneously to the music. Hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening. This is Morning Hour, a piece composed by my father, Peter Held, and I arranged it. You're listening to the Pablo Held Trio with Robert Landfermann and Jonas Burgwinkel, and three guests that we invited for this album. This is Dominik Landolf on alto flute, Ronny Graupe on guitar, acoustic guitar, and Jason Seitzer on tenor saxophone. It's a rubato melody that I'm not sure if it is transposed like this in the original piece, but I transposed it to a couple of keys, which then created a kind of different harmonic flow compared to the original. The tremolo that you hear in the guitar is something that I always like this. You hear it in Italian popular music sometimes. And I often ask guitarists when I play with them to do it. I just like the sound. Also, my father plays the melody with a tremolo in the piano. Jason Seitzer is also the producer of this album and many of my other albums during the time where I was with Pirouette Records, which was from 2008 until 2017 or 18. He produced all of my albums. This one he didn't record. We recorded this at Kleine Audio Welt in Heidelberg. And we were all in one room together, which was a bit tricky with, acoustic instruments, very sensitive instruments like the acoustic guitar and the drums also. But we separated all the instruments quite nicely, so it kind of worked. I remember I had some little monitors on the height of my ears next to me, which kind of worked better for me than to have headphones. The flute and the guitar also is a nod to my parents. My mother plays the guitar. She's also a piano technician. That's her main job. But she plays the guitar very nicely and composes on it. And my father is a pianist and piano teacher, and he studied piano, but for a while he couldn't do that because he had back problems, and he switched to the flute. So this is how I thought of this instrumentation. Yeah, this vamp is also not part of the original piece. I kind of added that. Hunters is another piece by my father, Peter Held, and this one features Ronny Graupe on the acoustic guitar. Now you're hearing the what my father told me is kind of his idea was to have like a little hunter's horn greeting in there. And the original piece, like this arrangement also, goes through lots of different moods and parts that are contrasts to each other. His version is more loose and rubato, and I arranged it to be all of it in time, but in different time signatures and in time zones, so to speak. It's very challenging to play over, and we still struggle with it after all these years. We still play it and try to find new ways to play over it. This was very fresh. We didn't have a rehearsal with the whole band before this going to the studio, but we did lots of rehearsing with the trio, as we always did before recordings, and recorded little demos for each of the guests, Ronny, Dominic and Jason, to help them prepare, sent them the sheet music and the demos, and then we kind of met again in the studio. So it was all very fresh. Yeah, the solo section is in a different key than the melody. That's something that I like to do also. Sometimes you hear the song in one key and then you go to another key for the solo to give it a little bit more, to give it another harmonic journey as well. Oh, I just talked through one of the maybe most obvious cuts of this record. I wanted to have a certain piano solo in there, or maybe it was also another guitar solo, but we had kind of had to put together a few takes because, again, it's a very challenging piece and we were struggling also in the studio. And I didn't come up with a solution. I think Jason Zeitzer came up with a solution how to put together takes. And I'm, if you go back to listen to it, I'm doing a certain kind of line and there's this huge jump in there, which I would like to be able to play, but I think I can't. But the record gives the impression that I can. Yeah. Ronny is somebody that I really like, the guitar. And throughout my discography, you can see lots of encounters with different guitarists. I really like the... Yeah, I think when we start out, we are often told, like, piano and guitar, it doesn't really work together. You have to, you know, get out of each other's way. But I actually like the opposite. I like to to be in the same space like them. And with the best guitarists, you can actually do that and find new things. And I had to convince Ronny a little bit to play the whole album on the acoustic guitar. He usually only plays electric and, you know, adds the acoustic for a piece or two on his records. But I really was, I was really drawn to this idea and to this sound, to the acoustic sound. Poem number 5 is another piece by my father. Also I think it's more rubato in his version, and I put it into a time. I can hear influences of Scriabin with the original piece, and I reharmonize a little bit some of the harmonies from his version. And here you can hear a nice example of comping together with piano and guitar. I really enjoyed doing that together with Ronnie behind Jason's beautiful solo. Remember, I really like the piano in the studio. I think it was a beautiful Steinway D. And it had this nice percussive aspect that I like, or that I'm trying to go for when I play piano. And this piano really lends itself to that approach and that aesthetic. Where the attack is really clear. I like that. It's not all 4-4. I think there's an odd bar or a couple of odd bars in between. And there's a bar of 5, I think, and a couple of bars of 3. So you have to stay on your toes a little bit. Robert just bought a new bass when we recorded this, I think. He doesn't play this one anymore, but was quite new, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I like also how the bass solo morphs into the piano solo here. For a while, it's not really clear who's soloing. Everybody's kind of dancing with and around each other. It's a nice feeling to play with, I think. Yeah, and back to the melody now. We also played this with Dave Liebman once. Just thought of that. And he introduced us to a different chord to end on, which isn't on the recording. But it was around the time of the recording. I think we just end on the last chord right now, I think. I think he suggested ending on a B-flat sus4 chord to have a little bit more optimistic ending. You'll have to imagine that now. Again, we have a different setup. Jason is not with us anymore, and we have just flute, guitar, and trio on work song. Also a piece of my father's that he wrote in the 80s. pretty involved melody, which kind of dictates the rhythmic flow of the or the meter, kind of. It's not all the same, although we start out in three, but it kind of moves around a bit. And for the most part, or I think maybe all of it, we try to play over the same form as just without the melody. Dominik plays a beautiful flute solo here. During that time, I played a lot with Dominik Landolf and learned a lot from his way of playing through harmonies, standards, but also originals. I'm a fan. He usually plays saxophone and clarinets, and also here I had to, when I asked him, I don't know if I asked him right away that for flute, but yeah, he's also a great saxophone player. But we have Jason, who's also a great saxophone player. Yeah, I can hear the trio and everybody else also trying to make sure that the form works for everybody. So everybody is trying to, although we're also trying to take risks, trying to mark the form for everybody. Again, I love the way Ronny comes behind me. It's active and it's encouraging and it's challenging, but always still supportive. Play on a form like this, I try to imagine the melody still in my head because it helps me to get through all of these different meters. We're back to the melody. I think the original piece is longer and has more parts. And I got rid of a couple of the original parts to create a little shorter form for us to play over. Secreto is a beautiful song from the Impressionas Intimas by Federico Mompou. And the reason this is on the record is that I associate this composer's music with home. My father played this music. My mother also played some pieces by Federico Mompou. We listened to his music at home. And I tried to play it at home when I was still living at home as well. I just feel like home when I listen to his music. And throughout all of the records I've done, I've often also recorded pieces of his, sometimes more involved as arrangements and sometimes more or less like a lead sheet version of the original song. And this one is more like that, more like just a lead sheet version of his composition. And this came through the fact that I think the original is in C sharp major and is super hard to read for me, with lots of accidentals. And so I just wrote it down for myself at first, I think only with the chord symbols into the original chart. And then I fixed up a new chart for us to play, which was more clear to read. And then it sounded like a song, like a little bit like a standard maybe. And that's also how we treat it. I love playing with Robert and Jonas in rubato settings like that, where we kind of breathe together and find a way to create a flow through the harmonic rhythm, following each other and not waiting for each other. There's patience also there, and there's we try to be empathetic, but there's not the... What we try to avoid is this thing of rubato playing where everybody is waiting for each other and the music kind of doesn't come off the ground. So whenever Robert is already in the next bar, that's where we are. And maybe the same goes for me and for Jonas. Of course, the harmonic discussions are more amongst Robert and myself. But also Jonas emphasizes, of course, different moods and different colors that come out of the harmony. I think this was the first take. I don't know if maybe it was in the middle of the recording session. We had 3 days, I think. The first one being a half day, which was more reserved for sound check and setup. And then we just went into the music, and as you've noticed by now, most songs have a different instrumentation. The trio is the constant, of course. But yeah, I think this was a moment where we said, like, okay, let's do just a quick version of Secreto and see how it feels. And it felt good right away afterwards, and we left it at that. I don't know if I can put it into words, really, but of course, when you listen to old recordings of yourself, you often feel like awkward and feel like, oh, I'm glad I don't play like this anymore. Or sometimes you feel, wow, I wish I could play like that anymore, like that again, but I can't. And with this one, it feels like time stands still a little bit. It still feels good to me, what we're doing. It could also be a recording from now, maybe. But also, it was recorded like 12 years ago. Nana is a piece by Manuel de Falla, Spanish composer, one of the most well-known Spanish composers. And this is something that I associate with a record by José Carreras, who did Spanish songs accompanied by a pianist. And this is a record from the 80s, I think. And my parents still tell me this, and I also have recollections of this, of somehow this was a record that I put on as a kid when I was like 3 or 4 years old. After taking a bath, I would sit in my bathrobe on the couch and listen to this album. And I still listen to it, and it means a lot to me. Beautiful songs, also by Federico Mompou and other Spanish composers. And Nana is actually a lullaby. Super slow and soothing melody, and also on a drone, on, you know, just one pedal note, I think. And for my arrangement, I went into the opposite. So lots of changes, maybe too many changes even. It was always a struggle to play over these, but I also enjoyed it. Yeah, I think we reached that pedal point for the start of the solos. First solo is Ronnie's. Said you're just listening to it, and then Ronnie cues the changes. I think Jason will only play over the vamp, and I again will play over the vamp and the changes. About to go into the changes. Almost. There you are. Like this moment, funny solo. I think, yeah, we always reach that vamp again. Oh yeah, and now Jason is taking over. I think it's nice that Jason solo is on the vamp only, because it gives contrast to the other solos, and he can really explore over this pedal point. And it's also nice to not have the same formula for all soloists. If you have several soloists, it's nice that there's change in the formula a little bit. Moment wasn't planned. I don't know how we go back into the changes now. Oh, we don't. I guess we'll find a way at some point. The time is still going, but we're kind of floating a little bit. Establish the time a little bit more and the vamp. And I think we're about to go into the changes. No. Soon. 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go. Yeah, I kind of heard us being in separate places at times, but we all try to mark the form through specific moments coming out of the melody, actually, hinting them a little bit in the solos. And that sometimes helps us to get back into the same spot. Kind of think now, why didn't I ask Dominic to play that second moment, the second melody that I just played in the piano? Why did I ask him to play the second melody? Maybe next time. I also played this with Chris Potter, I think, with Dave Liebman and other guests also. And I think since the origin is so different, oftentimes with really great songs, you can play them in many different ways and find new approaches and perspectives. That's usually the sign of a great song. One of the signs of a great song, if you can find different perspectives for it. This is The Elders by Wayne Shorter. And before I get into why this is also included on the album, this amazing song, you're listening to a great intro that I had Dominic improvise to get into the song. And we found a sneaky way to get into the song, which was actually the how we started recording it. We just started recording it there. The song is one of my favorite Wayne Shorter compositions from the album Mr. Gone, and it's a very mysterious song. On the original, you only hear Jaco doing kind of percussive things effects on his bass. And Wayne and Joe Zawinul playing the melodies, those two melodies basically. And those are augmented by beautiful colors from the synths, also played by Joe Zawinul. But this song is basically a study in counterpoint. And we recorded a version where we had those two melodies played by Jason Zeitzer on the tenor saxophone and the flute played by Dominik Landolf and Ronny Graupe on guitar. And this is kind of the thread that goes throughout the whole song. I transcribed the original and we follow that, but the trio is kind of improvising around those melodies. We had all had the same sheet, which was basically a score. And we just danced around it as a trio. So there's a composed trio and a improvising trio. Yeah, and those three voices, they also recorded this to a click without us, I think. Oh no, they had the click on their headphones, but we didn't. We just heard them play amazingly in time. But our improvisation doesn't really go into time like that. Oh yeah, we recorded it together. Because now we're just improvising together. All the written material has been played. And now we're all having a little fun over E natural. The mood is a little bit similar now, like my previous recording that came out before that, I think, which was called Glow, and the title track is also a big drone on E. Thank you. Pastorale is a piece that I composed and dedicated for my father. And this was basically a duo piece for Dominic and me, flute and piano. But Dominic is there twice as a clone of Dominic. So because the melody is for two flutes, actually. And we recorded, I think, the top voice and the piano first. And then Dominic just tried a couple of takes with the second melody, and we took the best out of that recording and then put it together. And I think for the end fermata, the whole band is joining us. Of course, it's very unnatural a little bit to have the same flute sound twice. You wouldn't hear this from two different flute players playing together this piece. But also I kind of really like that sound. We are nearing the end. And now the band joins. Yeah, it's just a little fermata at the end. And I thought those guys were hanging around. We could just have them with us for the fermata. Who says that only because it starts in duo, it has to be duo all the way through? This is, of course, also a piece that you can play piano solo. But since I before already told you about my father playing the flute and the piano, I thought it was a nice gesture to have both sounds in there, in this dedicated piece to him. I think Pastorale is usually, or historically, a song form or a form for a classical piece which is associated with a shepherd's song played on a flute. I think that's why I called it like that. There's a nice pastorale by Stravinsky, which I really like. There's a pastorale in one of Beethoven's symphonies, forgetting the name. So I also wanted to write a pastorale at some point. And most of the focus is actually on the flute, and the piano is just answering with little things, mostly chords and sometimes little gestures. My mother really likes the music of Joni Mitchell, so we had a lot of albums by her in our record collection at home. My father also is a fan. But this song is on the record because I associate it with my mother, and it's from my favorite Joni Mitchell album called Song to a Seagull, or Songs to a Seagull. And we play it way slower than, I think, than Joni does it on that record. But also I kind of, yeah, just transcribed the harmony, the melody, and fixed a chart for us to play over. Maybe I added a little Yeah, I added a vamp at the end. But apart from that, we just play it as a song. And I love the way that Jason plays that melody. We also, actually, we played this live with Jason's band in 2010. It was the first time I actually played that song. And I remembered that we did this and wanted to include this as a feature for Jason, who also is very fond of Joni Mitchell. This is the first time that we recorded this song. We also recorded it on our live album with John Scofield. The trio meets John Scofield. I think also there it's the last song on the album. It's a nice closer, I think. I don't know why, but I think as a kid I was a bit scared of this album. Or it kind of made me sad a little bit, the Song to a Seagull album. But I still loved those songs, but they made me sad. There were other albums in my parents' record collection which kind of made me sad. I don't know, there was a Steve Reich album also. But it's nice if music can make you feel something, right? So. Since transcribing Marcy many years ago, I learned many of the songs from that album. It really means a lot to me. So in this album you see on the one side the pieces of my father and the pieces that I associate with my parents or growing up as a kid. The Wayne song from the Weather Report album was also on there because we had a lot of Weather Report albums also in that period with the electric excursions of jazz in that period were something that is very important to my parents and I was drawn to as a kid and still am. We also recorded a piece by Chick Corea, Song of the Wind, which didn't make it onto the record. Maybe there was even something else, I don't know. Of course, talking to my parents after this album and, you know, always, I would now maybe make a different album for them, or I would be drawn to different other songs, but I think it was a nice document of the time and I often go back to it, and we still play a couple of those songs when we play live with the trio, and I haven't listened to it in a long time and it was nice to revisit it now with you guys. Thanks for listening.